Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
With Liz Truss only a few weeks in office as British Prime Minister, divisions are emerging in the Conservative Party after the UK Chancellor's mini-budget prompted turmoil in the markets and talk of a financial crisis. Well, the Prime Minister had been silent on the crisis since last Friday's announcements, but this morning she has been taking part in a series of regional radio station interviews. This is in the run-up to the Tory Party conference at the weekend. In a moment, I'll be speaking to Peter Foster, Public Policy Editor with the Financial Times. But first, here's a quick clip of Liz Truss on BBC Radio Lanarkshire this morning. She was asked about local concerns around fracking in the area.
What I've said is if there is local consent, we will go ahead. We need to explore where there is local consent and where there isn't. And we're still doing that work.
Your Chancellor,
I don't think we should rule out the whole of Lancashire.
You talked about how it's a success in other countries. But in America, they do it in the middle of nowhere. Do you actually know where Preston New Road is, where they have been fracking?
Well, I don't think I've been to that site in the past.
Shouldn't you?
Well, as I've said, we will only go ahead with projects where there is local consent. I'm very, very clear about that.
Not the most comfortable listen there. The UK Prime Minister Liz Truss on BBC Radio Lancashire this morning. Peter Foster, Public Policy Editor with the Financial Times, is with me now. Peter, how do you think she did overall?
Well, as you say, an uncomfortable listen. She's an excruciating performer. We knew that, you know, Liz Truss is not Boris Johnson. You know, she's not a slick political operator. And on some level, you know, that can be authentic and it can be charming. But I think in the current climate, when there's so much febrile speculation over the state of the economy and over the confidence of the financial markets in the government, when the leader of the country is visibly, audibly struggling with these interviews, it's difficult to see how that increases confidence. Local interviews are tough things to do. You know, if you think that, you know, you go and do an interview with a local journalist because they won't give you as hard time as the Westminster journalist, that's almost always a mistake. They're fearless. They don't have anything to lose. They don't have any relationships to preserve with the centre, with the Prime Minister, and they go for the jugular.
Mm-hmm. And then I mentioned division within the Conservative Party. How deep is that division now?
Well, I think there's an awful lot of trepidation in the Conservative Party about what this is doing to the Tories' reputation for financial management and fiscal probity. And MPs don't like to feel that, you know, they're at risk of losing their seats. And the Labour Party has just had their conference. They have a 17-point lead in the latest YouGov poll. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, Tory MPs are extremely nervous. I guess that they have to wait and see whether Truss can get through this. They've just had a six-week leadership contest. It's hard to see how they can have another. But, there's a lot of nervousness. And remember, Truss didn't have majority support among the MPs in her party, and an awful lot of Sunak supporters are saying, well, you know, we did warn you that Trussonomics was a fantasy and was going to risk the economy. And so there's quite a lot of I told you so going on.
Mm-hmm. Are there many who believe that this strategy can work, that they're vindicated?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a political thing here and an economic thing. I think you know, some MPs feel that the government has to stick with it because it would be a humiliating U-turn. But fundamentally, the markets say that the government has one of three choices. It can either do a U-turn on the package it announced last Friday that's caused all this market instability, forced the Bank of England to intervene to prop up pension funds, £65 billion intervention, or it can announce spending cuts in order to balance the books. And that itself is obviously politically unpalatable. Or it can allow the Bank of England to significantly hike interest rates, but that feeds into mortgage and corporate debt, also deeply uncomfortable. So, you know, the government is in a real three-way bind here. It's mm-hmm. in a pickle.
But any of those three options would signify that the strategy has failed. It's difficult to see how the Chancellor at the least would survive those scenarios.
No, indeed. And, you know, there is already speculation out there that Kuateng won't survive. But again, you know, they've only been in office 2 weeks.
No.
If she loses her chancellor this quickly, what, you know, the entire administration is in shreds. It's not as though the chancellor was acting on his own. You know, trustnomics, as it's called, you know, this supply-side splurge, it's all come from trust. It's actually identified with trust. It's what she campaigned for. So, you know, I'm not even sure doing away with the chancellor solves the market confidence problem. This is the difficulty trust is going to have. This is not over. You know, we've got to wait until November 23 until we get the proper budget forecasts. And between then and now, it's not at all clear that the markets are not going to keep squeezing. They're not going to keep finding where the pain point is, because I think they believe probably that they can force the government into a position where they have to row back on some of the unfunded tax cuts that they announced last Friday.
You mentioned Rishi Sunak there, and I see on social media lots of people are sending around clips of him saying this is exactly what would happen during the campaign when he was arguing against this strategy. Is there any sign of him? Has he said anything? Anyone in his camp saying, look, here we are, I told you so?
No, I mean, the only thing, well, the delicious thing I'd seen was a story that presumably came from one of Sunak's people, in which he said he wouldn't be attending the Tory party conference, which starts in Birmingham on Sunday, because he wanted to leave the stage free for Liz Truss to own the moment.
Ah.
And now that might have been magnanimous a few days ago, but it sounds very much like, you know, she's made her bed and Rishi Sunak's going to allow her to lie in it. You know, there are scenarios, I think, where, you know, Team Sunak will dream that actually the whole pack of cards comes crashing down and the party can't have another leadership election and Sunak is, you know, elected leader by acclamation in order to come and save the day. I've no idea if that will happen or not, but, you know, they are in a deep, deep bind at the moment, the trust team.
Well, the Labour Party, as you say, with their 17-point lead, might have something to say about that. Peter, thanks so much. Peter Foster there from the Financial Times. We're going to be talking about that record fine levied against the Bank of Ireland after this.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.